Malcolm Honlein's with us. Time for the weekly update. Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. Mr. Honlein, welcome back to JM and the AM.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, you can imagine what's on the mind, I believe, of everybody who's tuned into this show right now, and I'm sure it's on your mind as well. There are threats that have been coming over the last few days. We discussed some of them last week, in fact, from Iran. There are reports, some from what we would normally consider to be reliable news sources, that in fact there will be retaliatory activity against Israel in the next 24 to 48 hours, God forbid, but it seems to be, the news report at least seems to be a reality, so we have to mention it. What do you think of all this, and what do you think the potential is, God forbid, of some dangerous situations over the next day or two?
Well, I think it's a time of high alert. It's not something to be dismissed. Of course, the Iranians, like the Russians and others, are known for bluster in situations like this, but there's also truth to it. It was a body blow. I mentioned it last week when they took out this high-ranking person, the second, I think, only to Soleimani in those that have been eliminated. And, you know, it's a public embarrassment to Iran, and especially because it took place in Syria. They're claiming it's a diplomatic building. That's not the evidence. The evidence is that this was an IRGC headquarters attached to the embassy, but it loses its diplomatic protection when you use it to organize terrorist activities, as they were from there. This was a high-level briefing. It was two top people plus five others, and they were there planning and identifying targets that Hezbollah could hit or that Hezbollah and Hamas could hit. And as you know, there's been a constant effort for years to build up their ability in Syria itself, where we see, by the way, the Russians also expanding their activities on the Golan Heights, opening up another observation post just in the last week. But, of course, Iran has been hit maybe thousands of times. Shipments that they were sending to Syria and through Syria to Hezbollah. But we know that they were stepping it up. They have storage places. They have facilities of various kinds there. And they were continuously sending more and more sophisticated equipment. So this elimination was very important, but it was very public. So I think that those who say Iran won't do it are going far out on a limb. I think Iran has to do something. I think the expectation of American and Israeli intelligence is that they will do something. The question is, what will they do? Will they strike abroad? Will they directly confront something or hit a target using rockets from Iraq, from the Houthis, from Lebanon, and not fire directly from Iran?
There were reports this week of missiles coming from Iran into Israel. Was any of that true?
So far, there's no proof that they hit from inside Iran. They claim to have the capacity. I think Israel assumes they have the capacity. The intelligence indicates that. They did fire from Iraq, and those rockets did make it through.
You know, you and I could reminisce about how long you have been warning the world about Iran and the peaks and valleys, watching the news from the Middle East in regard to their statements, their reaction, their bluster, etc. I don't remember it like this. I don't remember you or others, responsible reporters, saying that you don't think they have a choice. This time they are definitely going to do something. Usually it's a lot of a bark and no bite. Do you remember a situation like this that has been at this level where reliable sources and intelligence agencies are telling us that this is an almost definite?
Well, after Soleimani's elimination, and remember he was the number one guy and the favorite of Khamenei, and many saw him as a successor leader, that time certainly everybody anticipated a much bolder response from Iran. In addition to most of the other attacks they haven't responded to, now they're getting warnings from the U.S., from the Europeans, from others not to do it. And we know that the U.S. has intervened with a lot of the countries in the region to have them press Iran not to do it, and to say that if you escalate, you know, then they will have to, they will back Israel. And at a time when Israel, they see Israel in a weakened position internationally, I'm sure there are a lot of people pressing the Iranians not to do it now, not to take the focus off of Israel, and to rally. As you saw yesterday, the Prime Minister of France gave a stinging speech in the parliament to applause supporting Israel. And remarks that some have made, how come we never hear you talk about the victims of Houthi violence? You never have any sympathy for Israel. England also a stronger statement, and the United States. So I think that advisors to the Iranians are telling them, on the one hand, don't gain sympathy for Israel. On the other, if you strike, it will give Israel the legitimacy to hit targets in Iran and to hit back much stronger than they have for a long time. So I think, you know, and because Israel has been hitting the proxies as well in Syria and other places in Lebanon, but you notice that the attacks on Iran were more limited. There was a time when you would hear every day of an assassination and elimination and explosion. That has not been the case in the recent months. So I think the Iranians have a lot to think about, and especially at a time when their economy is in ruins, and they know that any excuse they give to the people could result in devastating political consequences for them. So on the one hand, don't dismiss it. I think it's likely that there's a good possibility that they will do something. I shouldn't say likely, but good possibility. And on the other hand, I don't think that they will have a global attack or something of such a massive magnitude, only something that would give them a face-saving way out. Israel is obviously preparing for that option and watching the shipments into Syria, watching any other maneuvers. But remember, it can come from as far away as Iraq and Yemen and elsewhere, which is very hard for them to counter.
And tonight, of course, is Shabbos. And why wouldn't the enemy want to choose a night like tonight, God forbid, or Shabbos day to act up? And then, of course, next week, we're talking about Monday night Seder, Tuesday the Chag. Not to give them any ideas. I'm sure they've thought this all through already. But these are, you know, sensitive days ahead where the enemy could certainly choose to act up. And you say Israel's preparing. Aside from military, and I would assume, you know, some type of police and first responder preparation, are there other things? Are they telling citizens and residents of Israel to prepare a certain way?
Some, the mayor of Haifa did, some others have put out cautionary comments. And remember, Eid, I think, ends tonight, the three-day festival that marks the end of Ramadan. And so I think that opens up more opportunities for them because they celebrate, everybody celebrates these 3 days, and it ends the period of fasting for a month. So we'll have to see what happens in that regard from their side. From our side, you're absolutely right. They know Pesach is coming. They know the other, that the Shabbat so is not as much a deterrent or an inducement to an attack. But it can come at any time and in any way, and they certainly have been planning for it. That they have been working on deterrence for years, but not very effectively, and Israel has been able to bypass most of the measures that they've taken. So we are, you know, really in a very strange position. They have capacity. You saw the drones that are being used by the Russians. By the way, many of them with not great success, but you know, when you have big numbers and they're very powerful drones that the Iranians are selling to Russians along with ballistic missiles, along with other things, so they have the capacity. But they like to operate through proxies so that they don't bear the brunt of the response. It's a toss-up. And people who are predicting, I see all the comments that people are being made when they don't know that the situation inside Iran is in free fall. Their currency is 613,000 to the dollar, rials, in Toman, 63,000 to the dollar. The dissent amongst the population is immense. And this despite the windfall oil profits that they're getting, both from the export of Russian and their own oil. And had we been clamping down more and doing more to impose sanctions rather than relieving sanctions, we could have put them in a much more vulnerable position. And it's very regrettable that the international community, including the U.S., has not done so.
I think that we know what happened, unfortunately, the last major holiday in Israel, obviously Shemini Atzeres. So I think as Pesach approaches, I think there's a little bit of a pit in everybody's stomach, you know, wondering if the enemy, God forbid, has something planned specifically for that day. And the other thing is they've had success in getting weapons recently into Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, correct? I mean, meaning Iran. It's been proven they've had some success in getting weapons, more weapons, over the last few days into those areas. Am I right about that?
Mixed record. They are shipping much more. They are trying to do it via Jordan. A huge quantity of weapons were seized, were found. Israel watches for this very carefully. But, you know, you have open borders virtually, and the smuggling into the Shomron goes on all the time, the attempted smuggling. And when you see how during raids they uncover large quantities of weapons, this week IEDs, you know, the explosives, devices, were found, and it's not one or two usually when they find them, or they found other equipment, including protective vests and night goggles. So this is not stuff that they manufacture locally. And again, I want to point out that all the criticism of Israel and the IDF, how their activities over the summer and before October 7th, in they're going into Tulkarm and Jenin and other places, and the raids, and sometimes criticized for raids, that thousands of people left Jenin. They didn't capture the terrorists because they were looking for the infrastructure. They took out the factories that manufactured the weapons. They took out huge caches of weapons. Just think, if that stuff had been there on October 7th, right, you would have had another front. So,
and by the way, remember how many soldiers were doing exactly the same thing after October 7th, going into Yujad and Shomron and doing...
Absolutely. Right. And to the criticism, and I even heard people say to me, you know, why are they doing this now? They're inciting. No, they weren't inciting. They were preventing. And they prevented the deaths of people living, the Arabs living in those cities, as well as Israel, because they didn't have to have confrontations. But the infrastructure was very great. And the Iranians have been pouring more and more into Yehudah Shomron. They want to have another front. And remember, this is them fighting in the heart of Israel, not along the borders.
All right, there are a couple other very important news items from this week. When Israel took out family members of the Hamas leader, at least what we heard and what we read is that the Hamas leader had great pride, and his wife had great pride in the fact that his children and grandchildren were killed for the cause, so to speak. Is that accurate? Did they actually release statements and the pictures and videos that would depict a very happy Hamas leader and family because of the quote-unquote sacrifice that their family members made?
They did. They put out a picture from, it looked like a hospital, where the Hania's wife was in a hospital bed, and they're both flashing V signs and expressing their delight at the loss of their three sons. Remember, this is a death cult, and they extol death. We extol life. V'charta b'chayim, choose life. But that's not what they do. They teach kids from their earliest age that the highest level of sacrifice is that they should die in the service of Allah, in the service of their cause. They send these young kids often to train at 9, 10 years old, but even earlier in kindergartens, they're trained to be jihadists. They extol those who are able, who sacrifice their lives for the quote cause. So, you know, it's part of the ideology, and I guess that they had to show that they, who sent so many other young people to die and others, and sentenced people, whole communities to death, because all the deaths in Gaza are their fault. They could have stopped easily. Didn't have to happen in the first place. But the world shifts the onus and says somehow Israel's responsible for the deaths when they're not. They responded to terrorist attack, and what Hania is doing should show the world exactly how much they degrade the value of human life.
It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and, of course, in the beloved NSN app. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. major American Jewish organizations. One of the other big news stories of the week is when the prime minister, and if I'm inaccurate about any of this, feel free, but the prime minister of Israel announced that, in fact, they were removing a good number of troops from Gaza, a story, again, if I'm right about this, portrayed in the media as if Israel had completely retreated and ended the war. So, number one, I mean, just your comment about that whole situation. I understood it, by the way, as I read more about it. I understood it that basically they decided to pull back half the troops, that they still have a good number of troops in Gaza, and, you know, and some of them were either brought back in preparation for something else, or, you know, or were sent home. So, number one, if you can comment on that, and secondly, what does it do for the commitment that Prime Minister Netanyahu has made to there being a Rafah operation?
So it's a very complicated situation, and you are right on all the points you made. And even if it's contradictory, everybody's right, too. So they did pull out active troops from Elat. They left a battalion there to oversee security and to make sure that there isn't mass movement of troops and terrorists. But it's impossible to prevent it if you don't have the presence. So it doesn't mean that Israel stopped acting. It meant that they moved the troops out. And I know that troops were told to go and relax for a short period, that they would be called back. Some were told to redeploy to the north. And I know we're again sent back down south. There are actions taking place. They're more targeted actions. They're aerial eliminations a specific action at a location where they know that the terrorists are operating. And that may be the model for Rafah, you know, with all the international pressure and disregard for what is the best military policy. It's the pressure to press Israel to not to go in and not use ground forces in large numbers. So I think Israel is number one looking at options where you could eliminate specific targets, send in quick action groups that can eliminate the specific targets, identify tunnels, which exist in Rafah too, and to go after the leadership that's there. Second, that they will move troops back in. They created the corridors, which enable them to move quickly from Israel through across. But the population is also moving back, and that will be a more complicated situation because we know that the terrorists regroup like they did at Shifa Hospital. Right. And as the story comes out, it's more and more apparent. But we said here weeks ago about the reality of the situation at the hospitals, who's responsible for the deaths and how they have used all these facilities, which then lose their protected status, because I see, you know, the war crimes charges and all of this, which is absolutely not justifiable under international law. So it's a confusing situation. I can tell you that I've spoken to officers in charge of troops in Gaza and along the Gaza border who have told me that they're not quite sure what it means, but they're just preparing.
And that includes being unsure if there'll be a Rafah operation.
I don't think anybody thinks this can end without doing something about Rafah, because you have a lot of leadership there. You may have a lot of the hostages who remain there. Nobody knows, and as you see the increased speculation that they can't produce more than a couple dozen of the hostages alive. A tragedy that people, you know, thought about, but nobody wants to express, and we hope that it isn't true. But even the United States government is saying it now, that they think they're stalling on all the deals because they can't produce the innocent hostages alive to give back, which is really a horrible situation.
Do we know definitively that there are still some living hostages? Do we at least know that definitively?
Only from people who have come out, only from some of the testimony of the people they captured.
Right.
who are giving, you know, more and more evidence and information, both about the living and the dead. But until you have real confirmation, you don't tell somebody your family is not alive unless you really know, because there's nothing worse than doing that to the family and make them suffer and through the knowledge. I mean, all of them have it in the back of their minds. All of them haven't spoken to their families. They only have the eyewitness accounts or what people who came out could tell them. About it, but you know, the situation in Rafah, it's not an easy thing to do because of international pressure. But on the other hand, Netanyahu's legacy will rest in a large part on what they do there. If Sinwar and others are able to walk out of this alive, that will be a defeat, no matter how successful. And it certainly has been a successful campaign. Far more than people know. I've spoken to, you know, Colonel Kemp and to John Spencer from West Point, and all these people tell you that this is probably the most successful military campaign of its kind in urban warfare ever. And the kill ratios with the civilian deaths and stuff, the lowest ever. I mean, the international community doesn't care. Now, I even hear NPR saying that 33,000 Palestinians have been killed, and Israel claims 1,200 were killed on October 7th. I mean, they're really debunking and trying to put in question. It's astonishing to me. The one thing that is a confirmed fact, nobody knows how many people, and then they say, you know, 12,000 kids. That's impossible. Even if they say the ratio, it's not possible that that would be the ratio. And every analyst, statistician, professors, others who have studied the numbers all say these can't be true. You don't have that kind of increase. You know, on a steady graph, when you graph it, it's a steady increase. And so people don't jump to conclusions and don't talk, man. And the political situation in Israel is in flux. We have here Barkat and Bennett and Gantz and Lapid. They're all tracing around the United States. They should all be home, and they should be in Israel working together to keep support up amongst the people and to build morale and be unified at this time. And the political costs and prices will be paid, no doubt, once this is over.
World reaction, or what the world is saying now. Number one, is President Biden a little bit less critical now because the flow of aid to Gaza has improved? Is he communicating and is he satisfied with the way Israel has reacted to his words of rebuke?
Well, his words were that they have improved, but it's not enough. He wants to keep the pressure on them. He wants to satisfy domestic constituencies who are still protesting everywhere he goes. There are protests and more planned, according to information which has not been confirmed, about the April 15th attacks day. I know there's an event supposedly on Wall Street, but we have not been able to identify
that's Monday,
you know, real base for this, but very sophisticated. It just tells you what Israel's and we are up against in terms of the kind of slick movies they produce, the kind of activities, how many of the followers, the positive comments, they say more than half are bots online. I mean, this is very sophisticated.
Well, what's the threat? The threat is that what's happening Monday, thousands of people in the street?
No, they're threatening to cut commerce to around the world in like 50 cities simultaneously. We believe that there's reports that even Chinese money is behind this, a Chinese billionaire and others, you know, associated with the CCP. There are all sorts of rumors, and we don't have the hard facts yet to identify. There were reports that SARS gave money to pro-Hamas operatives. We don't know. And you know, then the rumor mill gets going, and it's very hard once something is out on the internet to pull it back. So we have to be careful when we see it. I just think we have to be on high alert. I put out the video just so that people would know, but most of all to see how sophisticated what we are up against is. And it's international. It's all over the world. There is beginning to be a backlash, at least on some of the campuses, to the manipulation and the distortions. But on the other hand, they seem to be growing in the numbers of participants constantly and in the vehemence of the demonstrations.
Wow.
And, you know, we are seeing the reports now where we're raiding colleges, and I know there are lawsuits being planned or already enacted against 20 universities And the universities are beginning to pay attention to it. And this week, the leaders of Columbia are going to be called to Congress. And hopefully, Congresswoman Stefanik will work her magic again. And others will. But, you know, accountability is very important. And when they lose money, when if Harvard's admissions this year are down 5%, applications for admissions. And we know that then the number of Jewish students is being subject to quotas in many universities. Hopefully a lot of this will come out as the lawsuits proceed and universities will start to take to account, as they did at Pomona College, where the president said, if you don't stop the demonstrations in 10 minutes, you're out. And they acted against them. It's not enough to threaten. They want to see real actions. And then you'll see that this is how manipulated this is. But many, many people, especially minority communities, are falling victim to the lies and distortions. And then Biden and the Democrats, you know, panic about it because they can make a difference in a tight race in particular states.
Yeah.
But the president, you know, on one hand acknowledged what Israel is doing, but on the other hand said they want to see more. And yet when the Iranian threat came up, America reacted strongly to it. And we have to see actions, supposedly another carrier group, I don't know if it's accompanied by an aircraft carrier or it's a destroyer group, was moved into the Red Sea. I think that's a message to the Iranians. And, you know, that's why people who just say we should do the, you know, blast and destroy relationships, America's relationship with Israel is vital. It's vital to both countries. And, you know, people who are not on the, having to make the accounts and to be on the front line, very easy to be blustery in your language and to threaten when you don't have to deal with the consequences.
By the way, on the subject of rallies and taking to the streets, we should acknowledge the thousands who did show up to the UN last Sunday. It's at least it's heartwarming to see that there's still a response from the Jewish world, thank God.
And in many other cities, it wasn't just here, and it was in communities on Long Island and Teaneck, elsewhere, people gathered. So you're absolutely right. People do care. They get it. They understand the nature of this war. And I think, you know, this is not something that's going to go away the day after this ends. This is a lesson. I think a lot of people will change their plans. I think, and as I've said on the show since October 7th, I do believe there will be an increase in Aliyah that the after this is over from Europe and from the United States.
How are the arms supplying nations dealing with all this? Is Germany withstanding the pressure of outsiders who are demanding they cut Israel off of arms supplies?
It's more or less like here. I mean, the government of Germany says that we have a moral responsibility, Israel's defense, that there's no evidence of crimes. America, similarly, has not has defended against the charge of war crimes, although there are elected officials, senators, and certainly members of the Congress, the Squid and their allies, who you know, do make these irresponsible charges. The most important thing people in that regard can do is make sure that the outcome of the elections in November will see responsible leaders elected and irresponsible people and people, and, you know, there's a very hot race in the Westchester, Riverdale, Bronx, rather, areas. I think Riverdale may have been gerrymandered out, but they certainly with the Beaumont race and the, you know, somebody who identifies with the squad, and it's been very extreme in its condemnations of Israel. That's a very important place where people can demonstrate as well. But coming out to the streets, and especially as the weather gets better, we anticipate there will be elevated protests against Israel. And we have to respond and to be there to show the world and to educate the world about what's really at stake. And every day should be a lesson to the American people that this is a war against America as much as it is against Israel.
I wish people in the United States would keep that in mind. They're so forgetful about that. It would be a completely different situation if people kept that at the forefront.
Think, tell them just to look at the demonstrations yesterday in Iran and what Khomeini said. They said, death to Israel, death to America.
Yeah.
They didn't stop at one or the other, and that was true of the Hamas demonstrations as well. And you saw that one of Tlaib was asked by Fox News about it, whether she would condemn those who called for death to America, and she refused to do it. She refused to do it, and that tells you what their real philosophy and where they stand. And but to know the intent is that Israel is the easier target, but America is the real target.
But it's so confusing. Like, are they here to circumvent, you know, what's happening in this country, to change this country, to turn into the country that they want? Like, I just never understand it. If you hate us so much, why on earth do you insist on living here and being part of this society?
It's a good question, but they believe that they can change America like they change Europe,
exactly.
Like they change other places. They're growing their population. You see how many people, Muslims, are coming across the border from the south. You know, all along, how many years ago, 20 years ago, did I talk about this with you, about the numbers coming from Germany and into Europe? Now look at the demographics. Look at the demonstrations. Look at what is really happening. And more Europeans are coming to terms with it, are beginning to recognize it, but they can't do anything about it. And the real goal should have been to integrate populations, to eliminate the extremist imams and infrastructure to protect the populations for over the long term. The character of all these countries, you see churches constantly being turned into mosques, then the churches there are empty and the mosques are full. And you know, and here we're seeing the same thing, that the growth of the Muslim population, you know, we never discriminate against people because of their religions, because of their actions, and because of what they profess. And now we're seeing results with sometimes the threatening nature of the activities and of the goals that they espouse, they say publicly.
You have been warning us about this for over 30 years, and you wish you wouldn't have been right.
100%.
It's unbelievable. This is a very important week coming up. Obviously, we're very concerned about the security of Israel, and with these rumors or news reports about what intelligence agencies, responsible journalists, etc., have to say about the potential of Iran actually taking action against Israel is quite concerning. Or, as you said, maybe targets that are American targets around the world or in the Middle East, or Israeli targets that may not be, you know, that may not lead to a world war, God forbid, but might in fact need a little bit of reaction from Israel, and the protests in the street, as you mentioned, which is always a concern, always has to have a proper response. And on top of that, the upcoming holiday, there's a nervousness, as I described earlier. There's a nervousness as we approach Pesach, and I think this has to be felt really by caring Jews around the world. That God forbid the enemy doesn't use that opportunity to act.
There should be awareness, and there should be proactive steps to take, that people, every shul should have a security plan and people designated, and they should be in touch with the police, be given the schedules of when people will be going and coming from shul, not just when they're in shul. There are steps to be taken. They should contact the SCAN, Secure Community Network, or CSI, or any of the security groups operating in the Jewish community. It's really important, and highlighting this now, you know, when they still have time before Yontif, to take those steps, both within the shuls and with the law enforcement agencies, and not to take anything for granted. It's not a time to panic. People should go to shul. People should continue to celebrate, but just to be aware and to take precautions as they would in any other circumstance. I don't think they'll hit American targets per se. I think they may hit power targets.
I was thinking like the U.S. Embassy in Israel, that type of thing.
They could hit any target anywhere. They're not going to engage the United States now. They don't want open conflict with the U.S., and the U.S. doesn't want it with them. That's why the United States said, you know, we weren't involved in the attack. We didn't know about it, because they don't. And they were warned through various intermediary countries. The United States sent warnings that they're not part of it and therefore should not be targeted.
Right.
That's not the message. The message should be, you mess around, we're all going to be against you, and we're going to stand up, whether it's for, and they did say and have been working to try to stop any attack on Israel over the last few days.
Oh,
but, sometimes people, and when the Secretary of State particularly makes a speech and he says, for the celebration of Eid, that they remember the Muslims who are being persecuted, and he says, first and foremost, the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. Then he talks about the Uyghurs and others, I mean, who are being eliminated, who are really being subjected to extermination. And I think it's very unfortunate because it sends the wrong message. And then, and the enemies of Israel then pick up all of those messages.
Wow, what nerve. So next week, do we have a weekly update, Erev Shabbos HaGadol?
We'll talk during the week after. We'll see.
We'll figure it out. Malcolm, I thank you. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Malcolm Homeline, Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, with us for the weekly update, Fridays, 7:40 a.m. Eastern Time, here at JM in the AM.